This audio, Brother Larry, this morning has a big job ahead of him with all the verses in chapter 3 of 1 Samuel. And whenever he's ready, if he would please read the scriptures for us.
The Lord called Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because the sin he knew about, his sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word, and Samuel's word came to all Israel. Bless these words.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Let us pray. O precious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that you have showed us in the last long while, really, that the Old Testament is just as relevant today as it ever was. Thank you for Samuel, that he was ready and willing to hear after you revealed yourself to him. Thank you that you are there for us as well, standing by our side, calling for us, and I hope that we all listen. Thank you again for your word. Thank you for your son Jesus to come to die on the cross for our sins, and now he sits at your right hand interceding for us. Thank you that we could come out here today and worship you and honor you and praise you. please let the Holy Spirit own this entire service, and what is said be pleasing to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, the message today is titled, Ready to Hear from God. And of course, all of us here are ready to hear from God. But first, a very interesting story from back in the day when the telegraph was the fastest method of communication. And a young man applied to be a Morse code operator. Answering the ad in the newspaper, he went to the office address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, busy office filled with noise and clatter, including the sound of a telegraph in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed job applicants to fill out the form and wait till they were summoned to come to the inner office. So the young man filled out his form and sat down, and there were several other people that was waiting also in the office. And after a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door, and went right in the inner office. Naturally, the other applicants perked up wondering what was going on. They muttered amongst themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. Nobody told him to come in. Excuse me. They assumed that the young man went into the office, made a mistake, and would be disqualified. Within a few minutes, however, the employer escorted the young man out and said to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you for coming, but the job has been filled." The other applicants began grumbling, of course, and one of them spoke up saying, "Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last to come in, and we never got a chance to be interviewed, yet he got the job. That's not fair." So the employer said, "I'm sorry, but all the time you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours." The employer said, "None of you heard or understood the message. This young man heard and understood the message, and the job is his." So we all live in a world that is full of clatter and noise, just like that of an office. People, we all are distracted and unable to hear the still small voice of God who speaks to them and speaks to us every day. We have to wonder if we are tuned into what God is trying to tell us. Do we hear him? Are we tuned in to hear and listen? Let us look at the verses from chapter 3 of 1 Samuel 1 through 10 again. This is from the NIV, and we're adding in some commentaries with the verses. The boy, in verse 1, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, it said, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions." In verse 2, "One night Eli's, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, when it is said that he could barely see, this is likely physical because of his age, but also could be spiritual because of the sins his sons were committing in the temple, was lying down in his usual place." In verse 3, "The lamp of God had not yet come out, had not yet gone out." This means that it was likely just before dawn, but it also may suggest of dark spiritual times in Israel. "And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was." In verse 4 we learn, "Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' Now a Samuel saying, 'Here I am,' this leads us to believe that God spoke to Samuel in an audible voice instead of an inner voice. But Samuel was so impressed by what he heard that he responded by saying, 'Here I am.'" This is a beautiful way to respond to God's word. It isn't that God does not know where we are or who we are, but it tells God and it reminds us that we are simply before him as servants.
Amen.
Asking what he wants us to do. Samuel is among several others who also said, "Here I am." We know that the Lord spoke to Abraham in Genesis 22:1. He spoke to Jacob in Genesis 46:2. The Lord spoke to Moses in Exodus 3:4. He spoke to Isaiah in Isaiah 6:8. And he spoke to Ananias in 9:10. And they all said, "Here I am." In verse 5, we learn, "And he ran to Eli." Samuel did not walk. And this tells us that Samuel was an obedient boy. Samuel came to Eli quickly because he knew that Eli couldn't see well and he might need his help. "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. In verse 6, again, the Lord called Samuel. When speaking to us, God almost always confirms his word again and again. If God speaks, he will confirm, and often in a variety of ways. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lay down." Now in verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. It says Samuel did not, the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him yet. A third time, in verse 8, the Lord called Samuel, got up and went to Eli again and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then finally Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Eli gave wise counsel to Samuel. He told him to make himself available for God to speak when he says to go lie down. Not be presumptuous about God speaking when he says, if he calls you. Respond to the word of God when Samuel says, "Speak, Lord, and finally your servant hears." Humble himself before God and his word. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And in verse 10, the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Is it possible that God is speaking and we are not hearing him? 4 times the Lord spoke to Samuel, and yet Eli did not notice initially. Eli was also close in proximity to Samuel, but he didn't hear God. Yes, God was directly calling out to Samuel, but had God been trying to call Eli as well? Perhaps Eli lost his desire to hear God speak. We know from our previous Sundays that we learned that Eli rebuked his sons for misusing their position, but he didn't do anything to stop it.
Amen.
I myself, as others, may be able to relate to Eli. We take our salvation for granted. We may at times no longer be searching or be hungry for God's voice. If God is speaking to me, that I can hear him, and I'm sure that we all feel the same way.
Amen.
We need to actively pursue him, seek a relationship with him, pray, and read his word. Samuel was called by God a total of 4 times when he responded to him. Samuel was so close, yet so far away. Maybe you can relate to that. You can be dedicated to God as a child, raised in a church, attend Sunday school. You can spend your life surrounded by God's word and his people, but not have a personal relationship with God.
Amen.
Here is another story to stress this point. The Amazon River is the largest river in the world. The mouth of the river is 9 miles across. So much water comes from the Amazon River that they can detect its currents 200 miles out in the Atlantic Ocean. One irony of ancient navigation is that sailors in ancient times died for lack of water on the ship. Caught in windless waters of the South Atlantic, they were adrift, helpless, dying of thirst. Sometimes other ships from South America who knew the area would come alongside and call out, "What is your problem?" They would exclaim, "Can you spare us some water? Our sailors are dying of thirst." And the other ship would cry out to them, "Just lower your buckets. You're in the mouth of the mighty Amazon River, and there's plenty of fresh water." The irony of ancient Israel and the tragedy around us today is that God is the fountain of living water. It's right here, and people do not recognize it.
Amen.
Even though Samuel did not know the Lord, he was at the right place and was doing the right things to begin that relationship. Samuel grew up serving in the tabernacle from his earliest memory. This is what he knew, and was faithful in his service. He had a good reputation amongst the people. This is in contrast with Eli's sons, who misused their position. And 1 Samuel 2:17 says, "This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt." And verse 18 says, "But Samuel was ministering before the Lord." In 1 Samuel 2:24, Eli is saying, "No, my sons, it's not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people." But in 26 says, "And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men." There are a lot of reasons people come to church. Some come just to see what it is like. Some come because their parents made us. Going to church doesn't make me or anybody a Christian more than sleeping in a garage makes us a car. A lot of what you get out of church depends upon what you put into it.
Amen.
In Jeremiah 29:12 reads, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Samuel did not know the Lord, but he was faithful in obeying what he did know. We may not know or have all the answers, but are we willing to ask the right questions? Are our hearts ready to receive?
Amen.
Jim Smith went to church on a Sunday morning. I hope there's nobody here named Jim Smith. He heard the organist miss a note during the prelude, and he winced. He saw a teenager talking when everyone was supposed to be bowed in silent prayer. He felt the usher was watching to see if he put in the offering plate, and it made him boil. He caught the preacher making a slip of the tongue 5 times in the sermon by his actual count. As he slipped out through the side door during the closing hymn, he muttered to himself, "Never again, what a bunch of clods and hypocrites." Ron Jones, however, I hope there's nobody here named Ron Jones, went to the same church that Sunday morning. He heard the organist play an arrangement of "A Mighty Fortress," and he was thrilled by the majesty of the song. He heard a young girl take a moment in the service to speak her simple, moving message of the difference her faith makes in her life. He was glad to see that the church was sharing in a special offering for the hungry children of Nigeria. He especially appreciated the sermon that Sunday. It answered a question that had bothered him for a long time. He thought as he walked out the doors of the church, "How can a man come here and not feel the presence of God?" Both were at the same church on the same Sunday. Each found what he was looking for.
Amen.
The tabernacle was the center of worship for Israel. God gave it to Moses as theology and physical form. The articles in the tabernacle each represented a step towards God's presence. While many people, including Samuel, probably did not understand what the symbolism meant, he stayed with it. Today, people go to church and are exposed to all kinds of things that occur in the church, but perhaps do not fully understand what is happening, but are still drawn to it. Think of those that are newcomers to the church. It may be a very confusing place. They may think that people do strange things that most people do not normally do. Often Christians can forget that the culture that they have grown up in is not the norm, and they expect everyone to understand what they do. Add this to the fact that often things can be misunderstood or poorly communicated. Have we ever sung the song, "I am under the blood of the Lamb"? I wonder what visitors who have no idea of what Christianity means think when they hear that song. Samuel had the right heart and was in the right place when the Lord spoke to him. At first, he did not understand that it was God that was speaking to him. He thought that it must have been Eli. God was speaking, but Samuel did not yet recognize his voice. Could it be that God has been trying to speak to you and me for some time, but we have not been recognizing his voice? Perhaps you have been to church and have heard or felt something in your heart, but if you have just written it off as sentiment. God is speaking to you, and he is speaking to me. With the help of Eli, Samuel prepared himself and put himself in a position that he finally was able to respond to God's invitation. A Native American and his friend were in downtown New York City in the center of Manhattan. It was during the noon lunch hour, and the streets were filled with people. Cars were honking their horns, and taxis were squealing around the turns. Signs were wailing, and the sound of the city was almost deafening. Suddenly, the Native American said, "I hear a cricket." His friend said, "What? You must be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket in all this noise." "No, I'm sure of it," the Native American said. "I hear a cricket." "That's crazy," said the friend. The Native American listened carefully for a moment and then walked across the street to a big cement planter where some shrubs were growing. He looked into the bushes beneath the branches, and sure enough, there was a cricket. His friend was utterly amazed. "That's incredible," said his friend. "You must have superhuman ears." "No," said the Native American. "My ears are no different than yours. It all depends on what you're listening for."
"Amen."
"But that can't be," said the friend. I could have never heard a cricket in all this noise." "Yes, it's true," he said. "It depends on what you're listening for. Here is an example." So the Native American reached into his pocket, pulled out a bunch of change, and threw it on the sidewalk. Everybody within 20 feet heard the noise of the coins drop on the sidewalk. He said, every head turned within 20 feet to look and see if the money that tinkled on the pavement was theirs. "See what I mean?" said the Native American. "It all depends on what they're listening for."
Amen.
So to summarize, Samuel was ready to hear from God. He had a servant's heart and was willing to listen. We may expect God to show up in a flashy or visible manner, but we miss the miracle of the still small voice. God is speaking to us. The Almighty King of all creation is calling to us. We need to be like Samuel and say, "Speak, for your servant is listening. Your servant is listening."
Amen.
And as Heidi was looking over all the messages and preparing, I shared with her my experience with the still small voice talking to me. And I remember up in Tirada in a church, and I was like a mid-teenager. And for some reason, I started paying attention to what the speaker was saying. It's a hot summer day, and the wind was kind of blowing through and cooling it off a little in the afternoon. And I remember clearly what the speaker said. He said, "You know," he said, "a lot of people is not comfortable coming up in front of the church and committing their life to Jesus." He said, "But it doesn't matter if you're comfortable or not." He said, "The main thing is sometime later tonight before you go to bed." And I could remember as sure it could be that, you know, the Holy Spirit was convicting my heart. And later that night I did, and I was too scared to go up in front of the church at the altar. But then, after I had the three beautiful babies, we was going to church in Terada at the Wesleyan Church across from the what used to be J&J Ford. And the speaker mentioned rededicating my life. You know, he mentioned, like, just to come up. And he would give the call at the end. And I can remember thinking, after I didn't go, I was scared. And I can remember clearly the Holy Spirit convicting my heart that, you know, I should, you know, go up and, or sometime, you know, recommit my life to him and, you know, ask him to forgive my sins and everything. And I can remember I waited the next service, the next week, I waited the entire time for him to give that call. And I tell you, good folks, I can't even remember walking up there. I mean, I had to get up there. So it's interesting when we listen to the still small voice that what we are led to do, you know, and when we listen to God. But there is a nice guy. We all listen to different things. And there's a nice guy down in Missouri in the Ozarks, and he's a hunter and a fisherman, and he always ends whatever he does that week, whether he's hunting, whatever, or showing us about growing food plots on the farm. Every week he ends his show by saying, please, this week, take time to be still and listen to what the Creator is saying to you. Amen. And I always think of his message, and it always, you know, it is what this message is saying. So if we could, we will go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you again, Father, for this day. Thank you for the chance to come out here freely and hear your word spoke. Thank you for your word. It is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thank you that we have your word. Thank you now that we have the great helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us, to lead us, to guide us, direct us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Son Jesus, that he came and put this amazing situation in place that we can be saved and we can come in your presence. Thank you, and let the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct us in this week to come. Thank you for all your amazing blessings that we do not deserve. Thank you for looking over us, looking over our families. Thank you for doing 10,000 things that we're not even aware that you're doing. Thank you for all these things. And in your Son's name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Let's stand for our last hymn, hymn number 314, I Am Thine, O Lord. 314.
Nearer, nearer, nearer. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now, and forevermore. Amen.
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 It was fun.
So he never was self-conscious. I mean, he shows his ego. Oh, it is. Yeah. He's a genius.
How did you get into that?
This is a great deal.
All right, buddy.
But he did the exact opposite.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Mrs. So do you like the same thing? I mean,
the summer, Will?
We got a lot of like sports practices after we get it.
You do?
Like soccer.
I might play soccer too.
So what you gotta do is schedule that like a week ahead.
Oh, right.
And then if it rains, you're under the.
And another week.
I was telling Russ, you know, we have it's dry here, so when they say it's going to rain, and there's an 88% chance, well, what that's saying is not that it's going to rain 88% of the day.
Yeah.
Is that there's an 88% chance that it will rain.
Yeah.
You can't have just a little shower.
Now you're right.
And you know, we need not worry about the truck coming in on the grass and going dry.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So, I mean, and of course, these guys are all busy.
Yeah, that's right. And they're looking,
you know, contractors.
They're looking for big jobs, and big jobs they want to.
But that's one thing we've got going for them here. They know when you come here, then we get it done.
Be in and out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're done.
There you go. You're right. No, you're right.
So, hopefully Tuesday.
We'll be talking soon. Have a good weekend.
Got the Dunks coming in Friday.
All right. Well,
who is that?
That's Jake.
I thought it was one of the kids. I was like, oh.
Yeah. It is one of the kids, yeah.
And you know, the Dunks is 14. It's awesome.
I heard that. Right. That's a bummer.
So I'm in the way through of mine is on that. I'm waiting to hear what he has to say.
Well, that's tough. I think when you introduce somebody new to the electorate, it's hard.
Yeah. I'm sure his eyes are a lot more open than they were when you started to learn a lot.
Well, and the other thing is that you know how primaries work.
See,
primaries are often way to the right or way to the left.
Yeah.
Primaries are hard to win from the middle of the road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The general is getting harder in that regard, but typically the general election, you know, is easier for a moderate.
Yeah.
But the primaries, you know how this goes.
Yeah.
They go, and more so now than ever.
Yeah.
So going way right, way left.
Oh, back. Yeah.
So but, you know, I think it's a timing issue. I think it's going to take some time.
Yeah, well, I'll be interested to see what he has to say.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him about it either, so. Well, enjoy the beautiful weather.
Okay.
We got to go back to the lake and finish
up. Oh,
yeah, we're still trying to, I've been trying to clean up and take care of a bunch of stuff. It's really moist down there, so your mold grows on stuff. It's all kinds of lichen all over your porch, and we just try to blast that up in pressure washer.
Pollen's.
Yeah, pollen's bad. But we took 1 year off not cleaning the porch, and it looks like, you know, the bark of a tree because of the lichen and the mold. So yeah. We blasted it. It just, once you get started with the power washer, it seems like you can do it all day. You can blast everything. Knock some paint off
you. Did you put a preservative on that?
Ours is that composite deck.
Okay.
Yeah, it just needs the junk blasted off it, but you're right.